Parsha Shlach.
So to start off, Moshe's Kenim, I have it down. That's Moshe's Kenim with the re that answers. I tried looking it up tonight. I did not actually fully see this inside tonight, but definitely have it written down. That the Moshe's Kenim says that Shlach Lecha. So Rashi over here says L'day Techa. According, if you want to, then send. Normally in the Torah, Lecha is used for Lahana Asol Tevascha. For instance, Lech Lecha, Hashem said to Avram. Lahana Asol Tevascha, also by the Chatzaitzreis, and by the Saraf Lecha, that it's yours and for your Hana. So there is actually one Medrash that seems to suggest that has a Girsa, that Lahana Asol Tevascha, that this is also for your good. And the question is, what good is there in this? So I have down the three answers that Moshe gained 40 years for his life because of this ma'isa. I guess you'll say it's together nive v'liyad ma'ase nive. In other words, the Torah has all its cheshbon as how everything should work out or whatever. So I don't know if Moshe Rabbeinu chapped this necessarily shas ma'isa when it was being said, but al kaponim, that's what it ends up being.
It was for their good, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, really HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to send the spies. And Moshe Rabbeinu didn't either want to send the spies. But the people were saying, let's send spies, who says it's good, who says it's not. So Hashem said, yeah, I'll agree to send spies. Once a guy comes to buy a car, so he says, that it's such a good car, I'll let you take it for a test drive. So then the guy will say, I don't need to take it for a test drive. If you're so confident that if I take it for a test drive, I'm going to be happy with it, that you'll let me take it for a test drive. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling them, yeah, go, spy out the land, see what it's like.
Kenza, that's more usually the mahalach of Rashi, of L'day Techa. This is L'hanosel Tevascha. It's usually a real, real, real L'hanosel Tevascha. So, okay, higher. Anyways, so did Levi participate in the Chet HaMeraglim? Did Levi participate in the Chet HaMeraglim? So seemingly, beginning of this week's parsha, as far as who they sent, Levi didn't send. There's no one for Levi. Lamaisa. The pasuk says, "Vayivka on Balailahu." They all ended up crying. So there's actually a Rashi back in Parshas Bamidbar that says in Aleph Memtes says that the Levim should be counted on their own. Why? Says Rashi, Tzofa Kadosh Bar Davar Acher, Hashem saw Shasi the Lama Bigzera, I'll call an Imam Ben Esther Mishan of Amal Shem Musa Bamidbar. All the people counted from 20 are going to end up dying in the Midbar. Omar Al Yiyu Elu Bechlal. So I don't want these to be included. L'fishim sheli shleito be'egel. The Levim didn't mess up in the egel. Rashi's handling about dying in the Midbar, 20 and over, and then he says, because the Levim didn't do the cheta egel. What does one have to do with the other? Seemingly cheta egel had nothing to do with staying in the Midbar. Sheva Levi didn't do the egel. What does it have to do with the Meraglim? What's going on here? So Sifsei Chum Taka says that it's mashma. It's mashma from here that really there were two chatayim. I don't know if Hashem had it set up like this mitchila, but the point is that there were two chatayim that happened in the Midbar. You did both of them. You were in the Midbar. You stayed in the Midbar and you died in the Midbar. You only did one of them. You only did one of them. Says the Sizacham and the Levim only did the Meraglim. Memela, since they didn't do the Eagle, they ended up getting out of the Midbar, but they definitely participated. He says. And there's Taka and. In the Meraglim. They didn't send, but they were definitely part of the criers. That's what the House of Zechum learns. Lamaisa, the Maskil David, the Nachas Yankiv, and the Taz, all Mepharshim and Rashi, learn that Sheva Levi did not do the Meraglim either.
Yeshua and Chor didn't do either of them.
Yeah.
I mean, not you mean, Chor and Kalev.
How do you know Kalev didn't do the angle?
Because his son
Zayda didn't. Good, you're saying that's good for we're on the right son, right? Exactly. Okay, now Yeshua. Hoshea bin Nun Yeshua. Why is it bin? What's going on over here? For some reason, just, because that was his name. That's why we say it like that. So a couple pshatim. The Radak says that since the words are always together, al tzdiktuk, you speak to Bali Kriya, like Rabbi Medrash and others, I'm sure they'll tell you that it's always together, and Mimela, since it's a davuk, so that's why that Milosha Diktuk, it's supposed to be bin nun as opposed to ben. Chasam Sofer says that he was misboinein in the Shar Nun, in the 50th Shar, he was able to understand in or thought about the 50th Shar, the highest Shar, and therefore, like the Ramban in Kisisa, that it's a Loshoin of Binun is really a Loshon of Kavod, like Bina. So it's like putting that together and saying, like, Binun in the Shar Nun, his mind was Isaac and he was able to, what's called, so that's why it says the B as opposed to with the Ben. First one is just saying that Diktuk works like that.
So Akiva Ben Yosef, if he's always called Akiva Ben Yosef, so it would be Akiva.
I don't know. It could be because we never find the name Nun without the Ben next to it, and it could be that's what it means. I'm not sure. 100%. It's Radak in the beginning of Yeshua. Yerushalmi says that Yeshua got his Yud from Sarai. Right? It ran with Sarai, became Sarah. Where did the Yud go? Went to Yeshua.
So today is Yud Nun.
No. He was called Hesheya. Oh, no, he got the Yud, Yeshua. So the question is, where did the Shiva come from to be called Yehoshua? So the answer that it came from Ben. It was really Ben Nun. You take away two pintalach, two nekudas, you take away two dots from Ben, it becomes Bin. And now you have two dots to become a Shva under the Yod. The Shaila is what happened to the Tzere of Hosheya. You're losing that, you're becoming a Shura. Okay, good, it's a Shaila, but Lamaisa is what they say. A couple Tzarechians, but. Yeah, well.
Why did he get the Yud? He got the Yud, the Pasuk says, I'm sorry, the Chazal say,
that we'll talk about later, that Yeshua, that Moshe was davening for Yeshua. He added a letter to his name to make it a contraction of that Hashem should save you from the Atzis Meraglim. Agav, someone says, maybe the Ramban, someone says, that we see, always when you induct someone into a new position, that they give them a new name, like Yosef became Tzafnas Panech. So it could just be that his name really was Hosheya, but as like a special name to be given, so that's why he was called Yehoshua. The Targum Yoin.
Sometimes when people are in a time of tzar, they need.
Okay, that's also fine, right? So that's good one. This.
So yeah. People either add the name or change the name.
Yep. Stamazay, there's a big shaila that comes out with Harklar for many Mefarshim, that Yeshua really, if anyone pays attention to Purim, to laning Purim morning or Bishalach the rest of the year, he's really called Yeshua back in Bishalach already. So why is seemingly now Hosheya Koyeshach when Tzatzarach, he's already called Yeshua back in Bishalach. That works for certain things, but not for this. That was before Matan Torah, and this is during the Meraglim. That works for certain things. But this is definitely nowhere near the same time. It's calling Yeshua then. So, the Ma'isi Hashem Taka says that his name was really Yeshua. He had a kino, he had a nickname of Hosheya, and Moshe was saying, now, from now on, we're always going to call you an Alash of Chashivas of Yeshua.
The Gemara says that all of the Meraglim, their names
were about the Meisim they did. The Meisim, who they really were.
And all of them, I think except for Yeshua and Kol.
Yeah, Avando. Yeah, the Targum Yonah on Vayikra Moshe L'Hashem Benon Yeshua says very interestingly, when Moshe saw the anivus of Yeshua, That's when he called him Yeshua. And the question on that is, what shaykhis? Well, what does the anivos of Yeshua have anything to do with anything? The fact that Moshe saw that Yeshua was humble, that's why he called him this. So,
because of his anivo.
Oh, so many say exactly that the Meraglim are going to go say Lashon Hara, and Atzanivos is Anivos Maychatz. They're going to go say Lashon Hara on Eretz Yisrael because they're afraid that they will lose their Nisiyos, they will lose their princeliness, and therefore they don't want to go in. So generally, the way people say this is that Yeshua's being honored and won't want to fight them. But there's others who say Yeshua also won't want to speak up for Moshe to go in. Why? Because, like we see, Adonai Moshe Kalayim, he said at the end of Baal Yischa, when Eldad and Meida dared suggest, quote-unquote, that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to die. So Moshe Mipnei is anivus, in other words, not anivus not to argue the Meraglim, but Fakar, his anivus that he doesn't want Moshe to die, so he won't argue. Memela. That's why Moshe had to give him an ice from his name so that he would go ahead and take a stand up for what was right and not agree with them. Chaim Kanievsky says that Lamaisa, Tchias Amesim goes by Aleph Beis. So therefore, his name was Hoshea. So he would have gotten up in as Ice Hey. Now you're giving me a yod, now he's knocked back a few letters, but a few letters is probably like a few million people. I trust Chaim Kanievsky. So he said he's bestowed from the Medrash of Chesed. The kids are so. Well, yeah. So he said that. That's what the Targum is coming to say. The Targum is coming to say that he saw that Yeshua was an Anav. To state that Anavim will get up first. I don't know, maybe it's Anavim Hikiyas Man Gulas Chesesh. A Kaponim, it says that Anavim will get up first at Chesem Eisim. So therefore, it's not a Baya to give him an Ois Yud to knock him back a few letters because he'll get up first anyways. He won't have to worry. Okay.
Sherman's Anavim, not Grips.
No. The Meraglim, the Mesil Sisharm explains in the end of Perikud Aleph. He says that the Chemdas Kovid, this that the Meraglim wanted covered, like we said, that they wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael and retain, they did not want to go in so that they would retain their special status, is pshat that they couldn't stand seeing other people above them. So to Yeravam, we know the famous story that Hashem told him, if you do tshuva, then me, you, and Ben Yishai will walk together. And Yeravam famously said, who? And it's clear that he heard Hashem. He said who, because he wanted to hear it again, that he's above, that he's going to be before David. Hashem, the second time, says you lost your chance already to be first, but he tells him the second time, the order is me, Ben Yishai, and you. So he heard that he lost that status of first, he had a chance to get everything nimchal, everything forgiven that he did. And he said, no, I don't want it. Now David's on top. He wants to hear it again, after the Gishmak. He lost, that's it. That was it. So to Kairach, next week, I'll kopon him, says Mesir Sharm, if the world wasn't into COVID, you know what the world would look like? The world would be a much, much simpler, stress-free place. You'd have, no one would be buying fancy clothes. No one would build fancy houses. No one would be going to fancy restaurants, trying fancy foods, wasting all their money on a whole bunch of things. No one would be running after things. Why? It's only because of COVID. It's only keeping up with the Joneses. It's only to keep up with the Yankov Pfeffercoins.
No one would have so much money.
Shot is that exactly. But fine, they wouldn't have so much. But the point is, no one would need anything. It's only because Madav's ambassador for Vienna. We have to be different than him. We have to have our own Zach. That's why people run after these things. As they zok the Mesir Sharm, let's tackle what took the Meraglim down.
The famous question that why did Moshe Rabbeinu only daven for Yeshua?
Yeah, we'll get to the minute. There's a beautiful Rabbi Yochum, very, very major. So I think you've said it before, I'll say it again. Others maybe haven't heard yet. Rabbi Yochum says as follows. How is it possible that the Meraglim who were either they were taka the top of their shevet, or at least we know, like Chazal say, that it could be they weren't the actual princes, but they were at least tzadikim, gemurim, like what's it called, right? You have the Ramban points out, Yeshua was number 5. Right, and it went in the Seidat Dvarim of their greatness. How could it be? How could it be that they fell so much? And to put it in perspective, to put in perspective, you have the Aftira. The Aftira this week is about Rachav, with the spies when Yeshua and Pinchas, I'm sorry, when Kalev and Pinchas go before they capture Yericho. And in Rabbi Yerucham's Lashon, that Chazal referred to Rachav as, yes, there's definitely Lashonis that she was Tamasai Big Tzadekas, but there's also the Manda Omer of Pashup Shat, that Rachav was Rachav, Hagoya, Hazoina, Hatmeya, Hapshuta, she was the lowest of the low. And yet, she hears what Klal Yisrael did, what Hashem did for Klal Yisrael going out of Mitzrayim. She hears that Klal Yisrael is coming closer. She concedes to help Klal Yisrael in the face of danger, right? It looks like a nice story to us, but as far as she was concerned, terrible danger. What? Lamed Aleph Malachim, Yericho, it was one of the biggest fortified cities. That's why Klal Yisrael went after her first. And she agrees to help them. And not only that, she becomes so great that she ends up marrying Yeshua and the Navi Yirmiyahu ends up coming out of her. How do you have that? How do you have Zemel Zeh? They go from the top to the bottom and she goes from the bottom up.
She's a convert?
Yeah. Yeah, she became a Yeris.
But originally when
she wasn't anything. Nothing. The lowest of the low. No, lowest of the low. Said to Baruchim as follows. Maimer Chazal. Chazal say, Habo l'tayr Messiah loy. Habo l'tame poischen loy. Someone who comes to rise, to become clean and pure, heaven helps him, Hashem helps him. Someone who is coming, litame, in other words, either to do the opposite or is not necessarily going to rise now and looking to go up in life. Notice, it does not seem messianly that you get helped going down. The door gets opened. Now, says the altar that, first of all, like we're saying, why doesn't it say Messiah and Loy over there? I thought B'Darach Shalom writes Eleich Melich and I say that you want to go down. So why doesn't Hashem want to help you?
That's one. Help him go that way.
Seemingly, that's what, right? If you want to go up, then you'll help be helped up. For down, then just open. Why is the Lashon changing? Why is the language changing? First of all. Second of all.
Gravity, actually.
Okay.
The door's going to open.
Right? Yeah, it does sound like that.
But if he wants to go up, Hashem's going to physically grab him and pull him up.
That's what it sounds like.
Because if you want to do bad, then Hashem doesn't have to help you.
Secondly, the Shaila is, why Paiskan Lai? Why Paiskan Lai? I thought Hashem is the grestimative. Hashem only wants us to do good. And therefore, why doesn't he grab us back there also? That it should say, Ein Manichin Lai or something, that Hashem doesn't let you. Says the altar beautifully, that obviously we understand Messiah and Loi, and we'll understand it better from Rabbi Yochum's word in a minute, that you want to go up, so Hashem's going to help you up. Going down, when is a person really, really, really going to decide to go up once he's going down?
When he hits
rock bottom on his own. When he hits rock bottom on his own. He's not doing anything if anyone's forcing him, and the altar is obviously saying, even Hashem. Even if Hashem is pulling him, the guy's not actually going to go for it. So therefore, Hashem is doing the biggest favor for him. Hashem is the meitiv, we said. Hashem is the best. Hashem allows the door to open.
Allowing him to fail so that he can, on his own desire,
hopefully, because he would love to see his child back in earnest, in actuality.
Desire to actually grow.
Exactly. It's also an English word.
Funny how people sail away.
Says Rabbi Yochum, and it'll help bring this word out even more. Says Rabbi Yochum as follows, like we said. So Messiah in life for going up, and Poyschen in life for going down. Says Chazal that each day a person's Yetzirah gets stronger and stronger and stronger, and if Hashem didn't help him, it would be impossible. It would be impossible to feed every single one of us, no matter what type of a person is. The Yetzirah is getting stronger every single day, and without Hashem's help, it's impossible to defeat him. That help, that's the Messiah in life. That's the Messiah in life. That when a person wants to go up, Hashem says, I'm right here for you. Whether it's using Bras Yetzirah, Bras Yetzirah Tavlin, the extra spice up against it, whether it's doing mitzvahs, whether it's concentrating Hashem, just trying to go closer to Hashem as a Yid, you'll go up. And Hashem will help pull you up. When a person wants to be balatame, when he wants to go down, so paischenlai means, what does that mean, open the door? What does it mean? It means he simply removes the siyata d'shmaya. This is parai. Parai, most of the Rishonim speak out, it chas v'shalom does not mean the darkei tshuva. We're never close to parai. It means the help, the heavenly help, the Siyata Deshmaya, was taken away from him. This was Acher's mistake. This was Elisha ben Avuya's mistake. His mistake was that he heard a box call that there's no hope. It meant that there's no hope because it's extremely impossible. But yet, Chas v'Shalom, there's never such a thing as no tshuva. He couldn't because it was very, the Siyata Deshmaya was gone. But the doors were not closed.
Why'd that
the
work doors, for him, though? Why'd that make Elisha ben Avuya deeper? Because didn't he already know that came out and the walls shake and was all, you know, like, was that before that or that was after?
No, it's Pashto's all the same time. It's a kasha why he knew this. You do have this. But Lamaisa, I guess he felt, but not him. It probably wasn't just Gobaskal. He probably felt, no, in other words, exactly. So anyway, Zokter Birchom, that's Pshat. The Meraglim, they had the littlest bit of what? Of the Kavod, whatever it was exactly that the Chet was, all the different Mahalchim. That was enough that it started taking them down. If they would have grabbed back Avada, they still were millions of miles away from the bottom, but they didn't grab back. Look how fast they fell. That Ein Lam Chelik Ba'aretz, Ein Lam Chelik Ba'olam Haba, the terrible death that they died because of what they did. They pulled a whole Klal Yisrael in the Midbar for 40 years. They made everyone die, all because of them. That was the going down. Rachav, Hagoya, Hazoina, Hatmeya Pshuta. What did she do? She started looking up. A pella for a guy. But she started it. That was enough. That was enough for the gravitational pull up of Hashem. Messiah and Lai.
How did she see those miracles from so far away? Yeah. I didn't know that.
Just from like everyone knew. So we say in Oz Yashar every single day. Everyone heard. Kriyas HaTorah, everyone heard. They knew that Klal Yisrael was coming. Balak in a couple parshas. Everyone knew Klal Yisrael was coming. But they chose to think, all right, Nunu, I'm freaked out, but we're going to fight. It was Amalek's fault. That's why Amalek is so bad, because they are the first ones who jumped and ruined everything. Who knows if Amalek wouldn't have gone, if anyone would have started up afterwards. They heard. They definitely heard. They definitely heard.
Just acting without, like, even, just impulse, without even, like, any...
Yeah, without thinking into it. Rahab,
like, oh, well, that's God, and, like, I'm an existing, so God created me, so, like, I'm not going to try and fight God. But they were just like, oh, I'm angry.
Right. And Rahab opened their eyes. Rachav opens their eyes. It's a pallet, the bottom of the. But you know what? That's exactly what we're saying. Because Messiah, like, because if you open your eyes and you let your eyes stay open, then that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen.
Canaan says that. Why does it say by Menashe? It says Lamate Yosef Lamate Menashe. But by Ephraim, it just says Lamate Ephraim. Why doesn't it say Lamate Yosef? So Canaan says that.
Lashon Hara, right?
Yeshiv HaTzadik spoke Lashon Hara about his brothers.
Right, so you got it also.
So he went like
this.
His Ma'isim,
Hashenkin Ephraim, Hashenkin Yeshua, yeah.
But afterwards he looked up, oh. And Yosef.
Enochana.
And he did shoot.
Enochana. They didn't stop. Chavetz Chaim speaks out very nicely. Chavetz Chaim Al Torah says, you see two different mahalchim in how to make a macha in this week's parsha. You have Kalev, you have Yeshua. Yeshua's mahalach was to be gung-ho out there openly against, and again, like we said, an anav before, so not necessarily attacking, but in other words, staying away from, never showing that he's with them. And on the other hand, you have Kalev. You have Kalev who seemingly was with them, right? Like we know that when they come back, Vayahas Kalev was able to quiet them down because they thought he was with them, and then he ended up being able to shtach them out, this is what Moshe did, how can I listen? And then eventually it was Kalev and Yeshua together. Which is the right Mahalach?
To just go out in public and be like, that's wrong.
Or to seemingly be with, and then at the last minute, show them that you're not really with
when
them.
When it actually push comes to shove, be like, right. Yo, you guys are about to do this. I'm not down with that. Right. It's not cool.
By the eagle, so you have the same thing. The Aaron HaKohen, went a little bit with them, and
right.
And Chor went right out again.
So seemingly, their Chor got killed. Seemingly, maybe that wouldn't be a good mahal. Taka the Chavetz Chaim Red's ice, that Moshe Rabbeinu needed to daven for Yeshua. Why Yeshua received the ice and not Kalev? Because Moshe knew that Yeshua needed more protection. Moshe knew that Yeshua needed more protection since his mahalach was going to be to go against. So therefore he gave him the tefillah of an ice. Kalev doesn't need an ice. He's going to be seemingly with them the whole time. Kalev, not only that, even thought, says the Chafetz Chaim, that who knows if maybe it'll turn they won't really carry their plan. Lamaisa in the middle, when he realizes they're carrying, they're out their plan, so then he went to Davin by Chevron. There is a Shita that says Yeshua went also, but most Rishonim learned that only Kalev went to Chevron. Why didn't Yeshua go? Yeshua didn't need to go. Yeshua already had the tefillah from Moshe Rabbeinu, which Baruch Hashem was working beautifully. Kalev needed tefillah. The whole way back, I really, really, really have to daven to make sure that I don't get nimshach. Because what's dangerous about Yeshua's mahalach is physical danger. What's dangerous about Kalev's mahalach is you have to be very, very careful that you don't get swept up yourself.
Wait, physical danger that everyone else is going
to... Yeah, if they see Yeshua, if physical danger that if they see Yeshua is always against, they might one day just decide to beat him up. To try to quiet, silence him. Mashen King Kalev, he's never in physical danger, but he's in spiritual danger.
That's
what they did in Germany. The brown shirts. Hitler was voted in with 33% of the vote. So, I mean, he couldn't go forward. The brown shirts would come out and we would be like, who's not for? And they would like start a fight and then the Nazis would show up and take away the brown shirts. And they were like, those brown shirts aren't really Germany, you know, whatever. And they're all under Hitler's command.
Right.
And everybody would like eventually come around to him being this great guy who was cleaning up Germany.
Right. So, Bekitzer, yeah. So, but Kalev needed to go to Chevron in order to daven so he wouldn't be with them. But what was good about his mahalach, technically, was that Yeshua had to stay silent on the side at the beginning. He couldn't say anything. He would have been in mortal danger. Mashiach and Kalev, like we said, he was quote unquote with them. So he was able to get up and they quieted. Ooh, here's our big gun. Here we go.
Oh, they were
and then he switched in the middle and said, do you think? Oh, Maisha?
So
and then he put them down.
That is so pro.
So Mamela says the Chafetz Chaim. Lamaisa, both Mahalchim. Says the Chafetz Chaim, both Mahalchim are good. Yeshua's is obviously good. It's dangerous, like we said. Kalev's, if done l'shem shamayim, someone has to be very careful and do it l'shem shamayim, but it's also good. I have written down here, I looked today, I couldn't find it, that Rav Breineman, who put it together, was told b'shem the Chafetz Chaim, that l'maisa Yeshua's mahalach is better. Why? Kalev got a lot of schar. He receives chevron. It's amazing what he does. L'maisa Yeshua received the next leader of Klal Yisrael. So in a way, it does seem like Yeshua's Mahalach, there might be a little more to Yeshua's Mahalach.
Just by saying the second he had the thought.
Again, we're not saying to attack Reb Shalom Shechter, many others, but I personally heard it from Shalom Shechter.
A little lost. So what did Yeshua stand up for against the Moravim or something?
Yeah, well, he stood silent on the side, but the whole time he did not go with their way. He did not go with their way.
He was one of the spot, right?
Yeah, he was one of them. He was one of them, but he never said the bad. He only went with the good. He only went with the good. Rav Shalom Shechter says that with the throwing of the rocks in Eretz Yisrael, no one told you to throw rocks. Who said you may be muktzah and all these things, and you're hurting people, damaging? You want to do Shabbos? Scream Shabbos inwardly to yourself and go home and learn Chelek Gimel Mishnah Berurah. That's your macha. Yeah.
It's not right now. It was 3 years ago.
Whatever. But that's your macha. Make sure you don't get swept up. Don't go do isurim. Don't go touch mukta rocks. Don't go damaging people. So not, that's what we're saying about Yeshua. Yeshua, he became the leader. He probably, for all you know, could have defeated the 10 maybe on his own, possibly. But that's not his job. His job is to just make sure the whole time that they know that he is not with them.
Aaron HaKohen was punished for going with the people by the eagle, but Kalev wasn't punished for going with the Meraglim. Why wasn't Kalev punished?
Yeah, seemingly just by sitting around spiritually, with the possibility of getting
it could be because
the whole time he was davening for Hashem to help him, like in privately.
Arn probably was also, but it could be the time on Arn was that Arn was like a leader over there. Kalev wasn't necessarily a leader of sorts. When they saw him get up, it was like, hey, why not, right? If Kalev was the leader, then his name probably would have been first, right? His name's not first. His name is one of the bottom names, right? Where is it? No.
Who is part of the?
I'm sorry. It's name number two. I apologize. His name was name number two, three. Three, but even so, I guess, you know, he wasn't necessarily doing what Aaron does. Everyone was going by Aaron's word. So Aaron on his level, I guess that's why, what's it called? Okay, Klal Yisrael says after they hear that they're going to be in, well, I'm sorry, even during the Maisa, they say Nitzaroish, let's appoint someone and go back to Mitzrayim. Chazal say that they want to appoint Dasan and Aviram. Why do they want to go back to Mitzrayim? Why do they want to go back to Mitzrayim? Lamaisa was horrible. Why? What? Okay, that's what he said last. That way they were just saying Zacharno. They weren't necessarily saying Watzko. There we go. I hear. You're saying that was the Revs, another variation of the red stuff or whatever.
Cucumbers and fish.
Yeah, that's what we're saying. That's the question. Yeah, that's what we're saying.
That specifically, like, the fact that they killed their children, how could you...
Right. So says...
Inconceivable. See, I'd rather 100%, I would 100% rather die in the desert.
Right.
100% inevitable death. With no one around me from modern.
They had a mom that could taste like anything.
Versus going to a place where I just saw people getting murdered and having their
children. Avada, right. That's exactly part of the question. That what was going on.
The human psyche would tell you, throw up your hands and dive into Hashem that there's going to be rain. Don't go to somewhere where there's marauders killing your kids.
We're in Miami.
What's marauders?
No, the Egyptians killing...
Bekitzer, the Moshe of Canaan, brings down the shame of the Rosh. Second, I just want to look it up before I say it. One second. Okay, I'm not seeing the answer now that I have written down. It's something along the lines of that the people had died, they weren't necessarily aware anymore. You had a very new door. Myself, it's only in second year. I'm not sure. I'm not gonna say over the answer. Okay, fine. So we'll remain with the question of that. Okay.
It says Kol Nasi Behen. After it says that they should go and spot the land. Then first it said you should pick these people. And at the end it says Kol Nasi Behen. Why does it say Kol Nasi Behen afterwards?
Because they weren't really the same.
Maybe we could say that they weren't it was good because they were picked. That they became Nesi'im, because the Nesi'im and Pashas Nasi weren't.
Right, they weren't. Yeah. Okay, to end off with one Reb Yerucham of Tzitzis, beautiful Reb Yerucham. Reb Yerucham says that about tzitzis, it says uscharta v'kol mitzvos Hashem. You remember all the mitzvos of Hashem. So he says, if you would have a city, I don't know what city he's trying to refer to necessarily, but let's pretend you have Bnei Brak, right? In Bnei Brak, it's easily assumed that there's not one guy living in Bnei Brak. The stam person that you look around, that you'll see in the actual city of Bnei Brak, you will know without a doubt that it's Yidden. Yeah, but Lagabi El Metzis, you won't have a Shiloh, is it a guy? Lagabi other things, you won't have a Shiloh, it's a guy. It'll be pushed to everyone that it's a Yid. Hashem King, let's say the city of Ramallah, will be pushed to everyone that every person there is an Arab. Muslim, Arab, not a Yid. It's so guyish that it has nothing to do with anything. Kedusha and Tuma, Tahir and Tuma, are like this as well. The things of Kedusha are the way they're supposed to be, at least, and a mitzvah, is full Kedusha, where you should not be able to find any part of Tuma in it. And the biggest Tuma in the world, let's say a mace, whatever, right? You won't, or the Tuma of the Yetzer Hara, you won't find any mitzvah there. It says, you're welcome today.
Don't even have
citizens. Right? Says Rabbi Yerucham today, right? This is back in the, I don't even know what he, Rabbi Yerucham was Nifter in 1938, so I'm saying that today, certainly today, what?
Which Rabbi Yerucham, near?
Yeah. So He says that today the whole world is one big Yervovia. You don't have any city that's just Yidden. You don't have any city that's just Goyim. You don't necessarily have any Tahira that's necessarily Tahira, right? Everything's been ripped apart, he says, and definitely today with everything that's going on. You don't have anything that's left holy and pure. And everything is mixed up. So what are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do? Where is there a place where someone can have this? Where someone can have a Jewish Yiddish shtat where the Tahira is full time? Where can you have this? Says Rabbi Yerucham, the tzitzis. The tzitzis, wearing them, their shmir that they provide, is uschartim, is coming to Hashem. That is a way. It's coming to say, I'm putting this on. And it's supposed to stop me. He says it's from Elosham, Elosham, Meitzitz Menacharakim, like watching through. That's why Rabbi Yochum's Elosham is, Vihi Mitzah Sitzitz, Shehi Bakol, V'Tachis Hakol. It's everything. Everything about anything. And therefore, someone puts it on, let them feel that. Let them feel that this is what they're surrounding themselves with. And that's the Talis Katan. Certainly, the Talis of the Talis Gadol, which is literally, we're surrounding ourselves with it and covering ourselves, that someone shouldn't be, quote-unquote, looking out and trying to crawl out of the protection. Let it be the protection. And that is a way that someone can taka bizeicha, to be fully enclosed and encircled by a ear of Kul Yisrael, of Kul Tahira, a Guten Shabbos.